Time of Our Lives, written by Static Abyss, read by Sunkitten Shash. An Only Friends Boston Nick fic, rated mature. Summary. 5 times Nick and Boston couldn't get their shit together, and the one time they did. 1. Boston was hot, sexy, confident. He looked down at Nick until Nick could feel those eyes all down his body. Then he leaned on the counter, opened his mouth, and spoke, and Nick felt it in the back of his throat. He wanted Boston down to his bones in a way that stunned him. It wasn't like Boston was the most attractive person Nick had ever seen in his life. It was that there was something about the way Boston walked into a room, the way everyone in the room couldn't help but look at him, as though he was that irresistible, as though he really was that magnetic. What clinched it was the look when Boston handed over his phone, the way he didn't pull his fingers away, didn't let go of his phone, even when Nick tried to tug his hand away. It was the slow up and down, the way Boston's eyes lingered on Nick's throat before falling on Nick's mouth. They both licked their lips at the same time, and that was it. That was all it took for Nick to put the photo in Boston's phone. He has no regrets. Not for 1 second, because Boston comes back, and Nick gives him the phone, and he doesn't say no when Nick drags him to the back of the store. He kisses Nick back just as hard, his mouth just as eager, opened just as wide. He lets Nick stick his hand down his pants and walks him back into the wall until Nick's hand is pinned between Boston's clothed cock and his own thigh. They don't talk much that first time. Nick doesn't have the experience to back up his confidence in leaving his shirtless picture in Boston's phone. He's only ever fumbled in the dark with past boyfriends, always trying to be quiet and as fast as possible so no one would catch them. But Boston knows what he's doing. He's the one who moves Nick's hand, slowly, easy, as though they have all the time in the world. He brings Nick's hands to the back of his neck and slides his hands down Nick's back to grab his ass. He pulls them closer together, steps in between Nick's legs, and bends his knees so that his erection is right up against Nick's thigh. "Hold on," he says, his mouth right up against Nick's ear. He pulls Nick in harder and moves his hips forward at the same time, and Nick gets it. His body reacts before his brain catches up, and he's already scrambling to thread his fingers through Boston's belt loops before the sound rips from his throat. They stumble back against the wall, trying to get the angle right, until Boston lets out a frustrated noise and shoves them apart. He unzips his jeans and shoves them down his thighs, his fingers shoving at his underwear before Nick even begins to push down his own sweatpants. Boston's not gentle about shoving Nick's clothes out of the way. He spits into one of his hands and lifts the other to Nick's face. When Nick doesn't do anything, he looks up, confused. He frowns as though he's trying to figure out something about Nick, and looks from his hand to Nick until it clicks. "The wetter it is, the smoother it'll feel," he says at last. Nick swallows. "I like it rough," he says, because the words are so easy to say at that moment. Boston grins and takes a step closer, burying his face in the side of Nick's neck. His mouth is so hot as he opens it. His hands are moving to grab his and Nick's cock and push them together. Nick's mouth drops open when Boston bites down on his neck. He doesn't know what to do with his hands. It's a miracle Boston doesn't run away. A miracle Nick can stay so quiet when he finally comes. 2. They have so much sex, Nick starts to confuse things. He learns about Boston's reputation from the casual, almost affectionate way Top calls Boston a whore, and the way Boston doesn't deny it. Nick can tell Boston and Top fucked, because Boston won't stop looking at Top, even though Top won't stop looking at Mew. It's not just Top, though. It's about half the men in York's bar. There's no confusing the smug look on Boston's face when he catches any one of them staring at him too long. When he hasn't slept with them, Boston's look is more calculating. Interested if he thinks they're attractive. Pleased if he doesn't like them and just wants the attention. Boston doesn't parade the men he sleeps with in front of Nick, but he doesn't hide it either, and he's honest about what he wants from Nick. When Nick goes over to Boston's place the first time, they don't fuck until Boston is sure that Nick understands that they're only having fun. There's no room for a relationship there. Boston just wants to have fun. And at first, Nick told himself that was all he wanted, too. He let Boston put him on his knees. He opened his mouth when Boston told him to, sucked him off until he gagged on Boston's cock, and kept going even when Boston tugged on his hair. He let Boston put his hand around his neck and hold him down while he jerked off and came on Nick's face. Boston's put him on the floor of Boston's living room in only his underwear, and made him come just from his mouth on Nick through the cloth. When Nick told Boston that he'd never bottomed for anyone before, Boston laid him out on his bed and fingered him until Nick thought he was going to die from wanting Boston inside him so much. He remembers so vividly the way Boston sucked him off until he came, how gentle he was as he opened Nick up, and even the way he wiped off the excess lube on the inside of Nick's thighs. Boston worked him open for so long that Nick forgot he was expecting it to hurt. There were some false starts, but more than anything, it felt so good, Nick knew he'd want it again almost as soon as it was over. He thought about it for days after. The punched-out sounds Boston drew from him, the way he couldn't help the moans that came from deep in his chest when Boston pushed all the way in. He remembered Boston's mouth on the back of his neck, the way he sounded when he was close to coming, and how hard his fingers dug into Nick's side. He carried the bruises from the first time for days, because Boston wouldn't stop touching him there. Nick could tell it turned him on to see all the spots on Nick's body where he'd left his marks. He could also tell that Boston noticed when Nick started leaving the first few buttons of his shirts undone, so that the marks on his chest were visible. It didn't even matter that sometimes other people saw them too. Nick didn't care. It only mattered that Boston saw them and couldn't help himself. It was all the lingering touches that caused the confusion. Although, if Nick is honest with himself, he was the one who gave them meaning. He was the one who lied to himself. Boston always said they were just fucking. But Boston had walked up behind Nick and pressed him up against the mirror in his room so many times, Nick started to believe that Boston couldn't help himself. That, maybe, if Nick asked for a little more, Boston might say yes. Boston says no. He very gently, but firmly, reestablishes the boundaries he set up that first time in his bedroom. And Nick is not stupid. He's not. But Nick wants to rip his skin open with how much he wants Boston. And in the end, It's the wanting that pushes him to bug the car and ruin everything. 3. Nick's in love with Boston, but he fucks Dan anyway, because Boston doesn't love him back, and because Nick ruined everything. It's all so overwhelmingly terrible that Nick just wants to feel something good for a minute. He wants Dan's attention, his flirting, the way his hand is also big enough to fit around Nick's throat. Nick tells himself he goes to the bar with Dan because he wants a fun night out. Dan flirts with him and puts his hands on Nick's hips. He brings their mouths close together and doesn't kiss him. And it's a little exhilarating to have Dan's full attention. He feels like the most beautiful man in the entire bar. Dan kisses him differently, holds him a little firmer than Boston's ever done. He presses into Nick and takes without questioning, doesn't wait for Nick to catch up before he kisses him again. He's demanding in a way that Nick's never experienced with any of the men he's been with in his life. As though Dan has staked a claim and expects the benefits that come with that branding. It would be so easy for Nick to just let himself go. Dan is good in bed. He comes just as often as he did with Boston. And it's not like Boston is waiting for him. Nick would be lucky if Boston ever looked at him again. But even so, even when he watches Boston come through the bar doors, even when Boston picks up his latest conquest and disappears into the bathroom with them, even when Dan kisses him so hard, Nick can barely catch his breath. Even then, he can't help but remember the way that Boston's hands felt when they ran down his sides. Dan kisses him, and Nick feels Boston's mouth on his neck. Dan dances with him, and his eyes are the wrong color, and his mouth is the wrong shape. And when he says Nick's name, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't have the same teasing edge to it. His hand is too big. His grip is too final. He's not Boston. And that's the real problem. 4. Dan won't stop touching Nick, and that's a problem. It's not that Boston thinks he has any right to Nick. That would be stupid and foolish, and also boring. But the thing is, the problem is, Dan won't stop touching Nick the way he likes. Running his fingers up the side of Nick's face, wrapping his hand around the back of Nick's neck, his thumb caressing Nick's Adam's apple. Boston knows what Nick likes, and that Dan knows it too means that they've fucked. Which isn't the problem. The problem is that Boston was here first, and Boston's done trying to defend himself. He's done being angry over misunderstandings, and he's horny and tired and really not in the mood to find someone else when Nick is so conveniently there. Except Nick is leaning against the bar and Dan is handing him a drink and laughing. As Boston watches, Dan leans down to whisper something in Nick's ear. Nick laughs and he looks up at Dan with his big brown eyes, the half-pout to his mouth that Boston always told him makes him look good. It shouldn't be a big deal. They're not boyfriends, and Boston hasn't made any claim, even if they are on speaking terms again. Nick is allowed to flirt with whoever he wants. He's allowed to put his hand on Dan's arm and shake his head, as though he's not into whatever Dan is telling him. Boston can find someone else. Anyone else. It's not that hard. He looks around the bar and finds at least 5 men he'd be interested in. He eliminates 2 right away because they're not alone. 1 more goes because he's wearing a ring and Boston isn't looking for drama. He's down to 2, idly counting their flaws before he realizes how uninterested he is. He sighs, runs his hands over his face, and glances at Nick, who is watching him back. Boston thinks, "Fuck it," downs his drink, and walks right over to where Nick and Dan are still talking. Nick watches him the entire time, his eyes going wide as Boston gets closer. "What?" Boston mouths when he's halfway there. Nick glances at Dan, and Boston really doesn't give a shit. He slides right up against Nick's side, his hand on the small of Nick's back. He grins wide at Dan and says, "Oh, this is your friend that got you your job, isn't it?" Dan is so goddamn tall that he has to look down at Boston, his eyes lingering on Boston's arm around Nick. He looks almost bored as he eyes Boston's clothes, his mouth curling up into a smirk as he meets Boston's eyes. "I would say we're more than friends," Dan says. Boston blinks slowly, lazily, letting his eyes roam around the bar, never quite landing on Dan. He's air, less than a breath. He's not why Boston is there. "Are you ready to go?" he asks Nick. "What?" Nick asks, his eyes going wide for a moment. He looks so taken aback, something tentative and hopeful on his face as he looks at Boston. Boston isn't looking at Dan, but he can feel Dan watching them. He can almost hear the calculations in Dan's head, the way he's connecting dots and coming to conclusions. Boston doesn't give a shit. Let Dan think what he wants. Boston just wants to go back home and have Nick suck him off until he comes. Maybe they can stop by York's place and make out in that alley outside the bar for a bit. Just enough that Boston doesn't feel like he's going to go crazy with how much he wants Nick's mouth on him. He almost laughs then, because the thought is so bizarre it feels wrong coming from him. Nick is the one with feelings. He was the one whose hands trembled the first time they slept together. Nick was the one who kissed Boston and told him he missed him. Nick was the one who told Boston he loved him. "Let's get out of here," Boston says. Nick searches his face, and he must find what he's looking for, because he turns to Dan and says, "Sorry, gotta go." They leave the bar. They get to Boston's house. They go to Boston's room. And then, they're standing at the foot of Boston's bed, the lamplight catching on the mirror to their sides. The moment feels important now that they're away from the noise, away from Dan and his hands. It feels as though someone should say something, make some promise. It's that kind of night. A night for sweet whispers lost to the darkness. A night for kisses and caresses. Something easy and loving. "So," Nick says at last, "how are we doing this? You on top, me on the bottom? The floor? Couch?" And just like that, the moment is broken and Boston can breathe again. 5. The sex is different. Not that the sex was ever bad, but it was different ever since Boston asked Nick to be his boyfriend. It wasn't orgasm for orgasm anymore. Sometimes, Nick came twice before Boston even let him suck him off. Sometimes, Boston tucked his face into Nick's neck and fell asleep listening to Nick talk about work. Sometimes, they woke up to the sun in their faces, and Boston pulled him back down into bed when Nick tried to get up to close the blinds. Sometimes, Nick caught Boston sneaking away to fuck other men, and he had to tell himself that it didn't matter, because Boston always came home to him. It didn't matter, because Boston kissed Nick and called him boyfriend. It didn't matter how many men Boston fucked, because he couldn't keep his hands off Nick. He never got tired of coming with Nick's name in his mouth. "You're so fucking beautiful," Boston says. He says it so confidently, so sure of himself, that Nick has to believe him. He believes it when Boston slides in behind him in bed and bites the back of his neck. He feels wanted and needed. And all that matters is that Boston comes back home to him. All that matters is that Boston keeps wanting him. Everything else Nick can handle. Everything else is no problem. Until the moment it is. Nick doesn't mean to break up with Boston in the middle of a date. They both know it has to happen sometime. Boston is going to New York, and Nick thought he could go with him. But now he knows they're not ready. It isn't the right time. They both want adjacent things. It wouldn't be fair if Nick asked for more than Boston was able to give. And it isn't fair that Nick wants more and has to settle for less. He's been playing it all out in his head the entire date, and it still isn't any easier than it was when he first realized he was going to have to let Boston go. "I think we should stop seeing each other," Nick says. They're sitting on the steps leading up to a fountain, the arched entrance casting light over them. Nick can feel Boston freeze beside him, and he wishes he was brave enough to look at Boston in the eyes. "What are you talking about?" Boston asks. Nick looks down at his shoes, at the scuff marks on the white band and his double-knotted shoelaces. He leans against Boston's arm for a moment and lets himself feel the heat from their bodies. He inhales deeply, catching the sharp scent of Boston's cologne. He always smells so good. Gently, Nick untangles their hands. He slides over to give them both space. "I think we should break up," he says again. This time, he looks up at Boston. He makes sure that Boston is watching him so that there's no misunderstanding. "This isn't working," Nick says. Boston frowns, and Nick can sense the incoming fight. He can already hear all of Boston's reasons for continuing this. He knows himself. He knows he's going to let Boston convince him. He's going to give in again. And would it be so bad? They have weeks left. Boston is leaving. What harm could it do to stay with him until the end? Nick's watched him fuck other men before. He's heard him fuck Top in the back of the same car he kissed Nick in. What does it matter if they play pretend for a couple more weeks? "Don't do this," Boston says. But that's it. He makes no promises. He doesn't ask Nick to stay. Nick closes his eyes for a moment. "If you come back," he says, and he has to stop himself, because Boston has to come back. There's no scenario where he does this, and Boston doesn't come back. "When you come back," he corrects himself. "If you still want to be my boyfriend, I'll be waiting." Boston looks at him without saying anything for so long, Nick thinks he's going to leave. He can't read the expression on Boston's face. They look at each other until Nick knows he's going to have to be the one to walk away from this again. "I'll see you around," he says. He stands and starts walking. He's a few steps away when he hears Boston speak. "I won't wait," he says. And that was always a possibility. But what Boston can offer now is not what Nick wants. And he loves Boston enough to let him go and hope he comes back. Nick turns around one last time, his eyes lingering on Boston lit up by the streetlights around him. He's half in shadow, half in the orange light. He doesn't look at Nick, but Nick doesn't expect him to. "I love you," Nick says. Even if it isn't enough now, he needs Boston to know. Because it's true. Because Boston's never lied to him, and Nick won't either. Plus one. A year goes by, faster than Boston thought it would. He keeps in touch with Nick here and there. Mostly, he spends time getting to know New York City. He goes to the bars, gets hit on, and practices his English with the guys that come home with him. He learns that a lot of Americans have shit standards. More than once, someone asks him if he's Chinese, and when he corrects them, he gets told they're basically the same thing. He's over it so much faster than he imagined he would be. He can't stand the constant rush of people. It's all wrong. The sounds are wrong. The cars are wrong. The people are too quiet. No one talks to each other. He feels misunderstood in a new way. Even when he makes friends, they're a little too American. Not in a bad way, but in a different way. He ends up meeting another Thai student, and they spend most of their time talking about how things are back home. It's all just so fucking sad that Boston says no when his father asks him if he'd like to stay for next year. He packs his things up and takes the flight back home, and it's as though he can breathe again. The air is just right, not too cold, not too dry. He's sweating even before he gets to his car, but he doesn't care because the sun feels right on his skin. The air is less heavy, fresher somehow. He goes home, unpacks, and when there's nothing else left for him to do, he pulls his phone out and texts Nick, asking what he's doing. He doesn't wait for Nick to answer. Instead, Boston sends him an address and a time and a simple, "Meet you there." Nick never answers him, but he reads the messages, and so when the time comes, Boston combs his hair, changes twice, and he's running late by the time he finally leaves his house. He gets caught in traffic, and he's so frustrated, he doesn't even think of calling Nick. He gets caught at a red light and sends a quick, "Traffic, please wait." There's no time for him to check if Nick read the message. He makes it about half an hour later, and he's so mad at himself for having wasted so much time changing. He runs through the park, heading for one of the smaller fountains. He doesn't know why his heart is beating so hard in his chest, or why he even thinks that Nick is waiting for him. But he keeps going until he can make out the fountain and the lone figure standing in front of it. He's dressed in jeans and a white t-shirt, running a hand through his curls. At first, Boston thinks he's imagining things, that the dreams he's had for the past year have finally caught up with him and he's gone insane. He stops well before Nick sees him, knowing full well that he's blocking traffic and not caring. He has to make sure, has to know it's Nick. He's not even close to done looking when Nick turns. He sees Boston right away, his eyes going wide and his mouth dropping open. He starts to move, stops, as though he's not sure his advances are welcomed. Boston wants to kiss him so bad, he thinks he's going to shake part from all the wanting. Nick takes a step forward, And he's still so fucking beautiful. It takes Boston's breath away. "Hey," Boston says. He's not sure which of them moved first. All he knows is that Nick is close enough to touch. Boston tucks his hands into the pockets of his pants, and he rocks onto the balls of his feet, letting his momentum bring him closer to Nick. They're so close, Boston starts counting Nick's eyelashes. He leans back onto his heels, looks down, then back up at Nick through his eyelashes. "I'm back," he says, because Nick isn't saying anything. "How long?" Nick asks. He sounds winded. "For good," Boston says, and he sounds just as bad. Nick closes his eyes, exhales hard through his nose, and nods to himself. "I waited," Boston says, before he can stop himself. "I mean, I didn't. It wasn't. I didn't date anyone else." Nick opens his eyes, his gaze lingering on Boston's mouth. He's moving ever so slightly back and forth, as though he can't help himself. Every time he rocks forward, his hand almost touches Boston's, and it's all Boston can do to focus on what they're both saying. "And?" Nick asks, frowning and still not looking at Boston's eyes. "And what?" Boston asks. "Are you still looking for a boyfriend?" he asks. "Are you?" Nick blinks up at him slowly, and Boston forgets that he's not allowed to touch Nick anymore. He steps forward, but can't decide where he wants to put his hands first. He reaches for Nick's neck and stops himself. "Touch me," Nick says. But he's the one who reaches for Boston first. He's the one who pulls their mouths together in the middle of the park. He steps closer so that Boston has to put a steadying hand on his side. Nick is the one to invite Boston over, to push him down into his couch cushions, and kiss him until their lips are numb. Nick is the one who asks Boston to stay the night. He's the one who pulls Boston back into bed the next morning. 6 months later, it'll be Nick who asks Boston to move in with him. But it'll be Boston who says yes. It'll be Boston who presses Nick into sheets that are already more theirs than they are Nick's. Boston will be the one who says, "I love you," who will press it into every inch of Nick's skin, until Nick has no choice but to believe him. Years later, it'll be Boston who asks Nick to marry him. And Nick will cry so hard, it'll take 3 tries for Boston to get a yes. But for now, what they have is enough. This moment is enough. They are enough. The end.